City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Since I can remember, I've been told who I can love. My mother told me to avoid black men at all costs, marry white, have mulatto babies with good hair and light eyes. But society said it was wrong. Why would she tell me that if she knew the truth all along? In short, this kind of marriage was against the law. Ask Richard and Mildred Loving. They were arrested, prosecuted, and convicted in 1959. A suspended sentence followed by exile. We'll look the other way this time. Sammy Davis Jr., the Candyman, was ostracized by his own community for marrying his Swedish wife. Frederick Douglass, chided and maligned in 1885 for making a Mayflower daughter his wife. Romeo and Juliet of the feuding Montagues and Capulets, innocent star-crossed lovers quietly laid down and gave their life. And I halfway listened to my mother, but I'm sure she didn't understand when I brought home my first white girlfriend. She was not pleased and told me it was wrong. Now I was confused. She was white, but loving another woman. It's not right. It's against God's law. It's against the true nature of man, so stated Anita Bryant with her trademark glass of orange juice in her hand. Call your senator, write your congressman. Let's ban homosexual love throughout the land. But she and her overweight Bible belt failed, glad to say. But don't rest on your
and
laurels.
you lucky day. Person are listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 137. I am Peter Maverick.
You are so enthusiastic.
I am. I have to break wind. I just can't.
So. Oh, dear. Not that. I'm Amy Matheny over here in the wafting of his breaking wind.
No. I have the wind has not
I can
not
actually
broken.
Almost smell you a little bit today.
The wind has not gone.
The antibiotics are starting to kick in a little better. I don't sound much better, but they're starting to kick in.
How are you, honey bunny?
You know, I am getting really excited for fall television. I really am. And I'm also getting excited to see the new Jodie Foster flick.
Yeah, I saw the commercial. I can't think of the name of it.
It's called The Brave One, which I think is a interesting title.
But it's her with a
bad
smoky eye and great highlights,
yeah,
and wonderful eyebrows.
Dyke hair finally.
She
it's her real hair as opposed to the dyke hair she had in The Accused, which was a really bad wig.
Well, it was terrible.
But you know what? She is on the cover of my weekly weekly degustation, entertainment weekly, and interesting article, you know, continues to not discuss her sexuality. They mentioned to her in the article, do you have any comment about the cover of
The Advocate with her, or Out.
It was Out.
It was The Advocate. It was The Advocate with her and
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper,
and she said the one with popsicle sticks, and they said yes, and she said I don't have any comment. But you know, it's I just you know,
the lambs
whatever.
Were screaming.
I don't. There were lambs.
they were screaming.
Dr. Lecter.
But she's Kelly, so gay.
Kelly and I literally almost had a slap fest, all out fight over whether or not Nell was just total self-indulgence or whether Nell was like a good movie. And I love Nell. I have a weird special place for Nell in my heart, kind of like Showgirls. And yet,
really?
I don't think that Nell is meant to, I don't think it was meant to like for her to get an Oscar. I thought it was really brave of her to make that. But
do you know, I'm so glad
Kelly hates it. Kelly hates it. And thinks it's just the most awful thing ever.
I saw it on tape, and I'm glad I didn't see it in the audience because I laughed from beginning to end. And it's not a movie you're supposed to laugh at,
no,
really.
No, probably not.
but it became it became such a joke in high school. I am not lying. This was a joke in high school that this one girl, Sarah, got a white t-shirt and with a black Sharpie wrote Tay-in-ween on her shirt and wore it all the time.
Well,
and every time people walk past her, they're like, Tay-in-ween.
I don't think it's like a work of art, but what I think was it was pretty freaking brave.
It had that bizarro aspect to it of like Deliverance. And I don't mean sexual, because obviously it's not a sexual movie, but it was just, it had that weird, like, as a northerner, I was like, is that what Southern folks are like? I was like, is that really what
happens? Mute, fucked up, isolated, grown up with,
honey,
you know.
In the country, people bringing the groceries to the door. It was weird to me. It was weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I laughed, though, the whole time. It was that nervous laugh. Like, is she going to talk right?
It was a bit strange, but I'm sure that the lesbians will be hitting the Cineplexes for the Brave One, where she's basically just a revenge killer.
Yay. It's Urami. It's the Japanese word for revenge.
Yeah, either her husband or her boyfriend is played by that beautiful Naveen Andrews, I think that's his name, who is on Lost, who plays the Muslim on Lost, the long...
I watched Lost.
I like him. And so he's, I think, killed, and she goes on a revenge. You know, it's interesting to see her with guns and tight jeans and looking at Holly Hunter now and this Saving Grace, you know, one butcher than the other. And it's just so funny because...
Can't we all just be Lara Croft?
I don't know. I like Lara Croft better because she's curvier and has
a real
body.
Woman,
she's a real woman.
Not a waif.
You know, I keep watching this Saving Grace because I like the Holly Hunter character, and everybody else on it just can't act their way out of a paper sack. But but she has been naked in every episode. So she's gotten naked, obviously, with all of her co-stars. And she is so thin.
She's so Calista Flockhart,
she's
Kate Moss.
So thin. Yeah. It's sad. I was actually going to the beach this week, and we were walking, and you were putting your bike on the beach, and I was going to the beach, and this girl ran by us, and I was like, oh my God, because that's what she probably looks like in real life.
Yeah.
Holly Hunter, you know, if I saw her, because the camera does add weight to you.
Sure. Well, it adds depth.
It adds depth to you. But I'm just saying, like, she looks, it's just not a good look.
I don't get it.
It's disturbing. Disturbing, disturbing, disturbing.
Disturbing.
Doesn't seem to say anything good.
Well, that's okay, because, you know, she's gonna have her turnaround or something like that. What I want to know, though, is what rock did Goldie Hawn crawl under? Where is she?
Goldie Hawn? Why the hell are we talking about Goldie Hawn?
I don't know, because I think like super uber thin celebrities, Goldie Hawn is like one of those twiggy.
Yeah, but Goldie never looks sickly. Goldie never had that heroin.
Did you see Death Becomes Her?
Well, maybe. I don't know where Goldie Hawn is. She's letting Kate have all the front light.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. We need to find her.
She's bringing up baby.
Is she producing something?
I don't know.
She's sitting there with, what's her face from Laverne and Shirley? Oh, yeah.
Penny Marshall.
Yeah, they're producing things, I'm sure, behind the scenes.
I don't know.
Left and right.
I love her. Susan Sarandon's in a new movie.
Everybody. Everybody's in that movie.
Yeah.
What is that movie called?
It's called, Ea, or something to Ea.
Is this about Southerners?
No. E-Y-A-H. Is that what it is? Something. It's by,
Everybody is in it.
Oh, God. It's I don't know.
God, where is Richard Knight Jr. when you need him?
I don't know, but I'm excited about it. I can't remember who the director is, but it's a director that I really like.
Okay, I am Googling as we speak.
And all right.
Do you see how prepared we were for this show, folks?
Not at all. We just turn it on and talk. This is just what you get. When our heads are stuck up our butts, you just get to hear it.
The
just
Lovely
like that.
Bones? No. Nope. In the Valley of Elah.
Elah.
That's it. That's
Who's the director?
Well, she plays Joan Deerfield. Hang on. We're getting to Paul Haggis.
Haggis, who did Crash.
Right. So Tommy Lee Jones, Charlize Theron.
Million Dollar Baby. He wrote Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
Which I will excuse him for.
Really? Why
really
do you say that?
I hated that movie. We've discussed that before.
We have?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
We have. We may have been on radio, so podcast fans, I apologize if I don't want to discuss it again.
But. Where's this other one? There's this other one like with Glenn Close that she's in with Glenn Close. No?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I'm talking up my butt because she's in so many movies, right? Oh, this is the Coen Brothers one, yeah? No?
I don't know.
There's one there. Christopher Plummer. I got to stop looking at Google. See, this is what happens when I go on.
You can't. You've
IMDb
detracted.
IMDb is like fucking MySpace.
I know it is.
You just click through one thing and you're like, ooh, who's that? Click through the, ooh, who's that? Ooh,
that's how we
that.
Are about Mad Men. We watch Mad Men. If you're not watching it, you miss the all day long marathon. Even my mother called me and said, Amy, I'm going to watch the Mad Men at 6 hours tonight.
Yep.
Was on Sunday, but...
And you know what I have?
And all those actors were kind of like, who are they? Who are they? Who are they? What have they done? IMDb.
So I have a TiVo versus DVR question.
Yes.
If you tell TiVo to record all episodes, mm-hmm. will it record a duplicate?
I don't know. I don't ever tell it to record all episodes. Well, yeah, probably it would.
So there's no way you can say record all episodes, but if I have this one already, don't record it?
Probably not. But if you asked it to do Mad Men, you could probably have it do it up to a point, keep those, and then tell it just to start doing the new ones.
Okay, because I had Mad Men turned on for only new ones, so I missed this whole spiel. Because I didn't think they were going to do it. So I didn't have it first run and repeats. Because when I had it on first run and repeats, I got like 7 of the same one.
Yeah.
So, okay, TiVo does not have the edge there. Good. Because if it did, I would go fucking buy one tonight.
I don't know. I mean, I it does first runs and repeats.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, you can choose first run or repeats. And what I probably would have done is just say
repeats
because so you could see the ones that have already aired. And then once I got them in order, keep those and then start doing the new ones.
So it doesn't have a, if I already have this, don't record it setting.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Find out. Do some research for me.
I will.
Because if it does, I'm buying one.
Oh, they're so good.
Because that's the only thing
that kills
me.
TiVo's having a big sale right now. You can get the one that I bought for under $600.
Well, yeah, but they have the one that's like, because I don't have the digital. I don't have HD.
I know, but it's just a couple $100 more.
But then
you get twice the amount of recording.
It's not a couple $100 more because then I got to buy a TV to go with that.
Well,
and
that's
not a couple $100 more.
That's true. That's
a couple $1,000 more. And mama's got to buy a new computer. Yes, we talked about this. We talked about the computers. This is like a rerun show.
It is.
What did we talk about last
Evergreen.
Week? I don't know.
We did talk briefly about Idaho Senator Larry Craig. And it is official now that he has resigned from the U.S. Senate. That happened over the weekend.
He should have resigned?
Oh God, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't even matter what I think because the Republicans are going to want to be so far away from him, they would literally oust him if he didn't resign. Yeah. So, I mean, the two party, especially the Republican Party, has such a mask that is so rigid that God forbid you fall out of line of that. Right. I don't know. You know, and the weird thing is these keep being all Republican people,
yep.
Foley and Craig and, you know, and then we have all the financial shit uh-huh. that has happened in the past 12 months. But,
sure,
you know, it continues to be Republicans. I don't know. I mean, has there been a Democrat story? I can't really tell you. So, you know, I think that they just have such a moral superiority that they kind of have to. I mean, even if
they have to, play by their rules.
Yeah. And even if it was a big lie, which I don't think it is, you know, they just based on now he's been branded. I mean, he's kind of got like a scarlet letter on him. I mean, it seems like it's so easy these days to just brand these guys. They're just they do stuff so naively.
They're easy targets.
Yeah.
They're really easy targets. And I think this is, you know,
well, this all happened, you know, he resigned. It was just 5 days after that he pled guilty to lewd conduct. That's what he finally said he would plead guilty to in this Minneapolis airport restroom in June. Maybe he was just feeling his gay pride. I don't know. But he's going to fight now to withdraw this guilty plea. And he has hired attorney Billy Martin. And Martin has done many, many, many high profile cases, such as Monica Lewinsky and also NFL quarterback Michael Vick. So, you know, he's definitely hired some big guns. And as you heard in our news story earlier in the week, it'll be very interesting to see if his wife stands by him. I mean, she kind of has in the early days, but nothing publicly has been said as of yet. So
This isn't a Hillary Billary kind of.
No, and it just, incident. You know, I hope that with all of these instances, you know, if Hillary is actually on the ticket or as we get closer to the ticket, it will stop all this talk about whatever happened in the Clinton administration because it's just so small potatoes to all of this.
Well, it is, but it's to so many people, it's a touchstone because most people are ignorant of what's really going on in the media. So I think that it's a way for people to compare and contrast because it's what they know. They don't know any better.
Do you know this thing about tapping your foot is a signal in a bathroom stall and the toilet paper? Was it the toilet paper? What is it? I can't remember here. There's a tapping of the foot, which I don't even understand that because we're just a musical community. So a gay guy could be tapping his foot, but I mean, you know, you could have a straight guy tapping.
Well, no. So if someone is tapping their foot in their stall, that's one thing.
They're tapping their foot in your stall.
Yeah. If someone is like reaching over and like It's kind of like a knock. Yeah. But here, let the record show. Peter Maverick has never gotten any play in a bathroom. I think that's the most disgusting thing. I've never, the glory hole thing, that just, bleh,
is it a
not,
desperate environment? I mean, what time of day could
it have been?
It's closeted
people. This is closeted people doing closeted people things.
Yeah.
And God bless you if you're in the closet, because hopefully someday you'll come out. But that's never been my MO. So when I was reading about all these timelines and they have the officer showed his badge under the thing and la 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 and la la la, I'm like, first of all, who the fuck cares? It's amazing that they're focusing in on stuff like this. Second of all, I'm sure real people who do this stuff don't even do it anywhere near this.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is like, they're getting it wrong. And I don't know who's going to come out and correct them, because anybody who does it isn't going to speak up.
What's 1200? Is that 12 o'clock noon or 12 midnight?
Noon.
At 1200 hours.
Because 0100 is midnight. So 1200 hours is noon.
So this was happening in the middle of the day. Oh my God.
Well, there's a lot of, you
in
know.
In a busy airport. I'm just saying, like, you know, what the fuck?
Honey, crazy. Gay men want to play with the joystick wherever they can.
Desperate is desperate is desperate.
Well, closeted is closeted is closeted.
Well, there's that too.
Let's call a spade, I think.
Yeah.
I think in there. So is that Madeline on your shirt to completely?
Yes.
It is Madeline.
Ooh, la, la.
There you go. Ooh la la. She's so cute
Ooh,
in her little
I'm
yellow
Madeline,
hat.
Madeline, I'm Madeline.
I always wanted to be one of hers.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then when I learned who Madeline Kahn was, I loved her because she had the same name.
Madeline Kahn. Let's just have a moment for Madeline Kahn.
You know, I think some of her best work was on The Cosby Show when she would riff.
She
was very ill at that time as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It wasn't even The Cosby Show. What was it called?
No, it was The Cosby Show. She came on The Cosby Show.
She did, but it was the later one right before she passed away.
Oh, I don't know.
Where they were in the brownstone and they weren't rich and he wasn't a doctor.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. He was with Felicia Rashad. Ooh, I was about to say Felicia Fields. Hell no.
Hell no.
Speaking of which, that's Leaving Town. I'm so sad. I have to go see it again.
It is.
We
End
should
of
go
September,
see it
The Color Purple goes to San Francisco. We
Ooh.
Should go see it again.
So they're not sitting down here? Rumor.
No, they're not sitting down here. They're popping up and heading to San Francisco for a while, sitting down there. Then they'll hop to, I think, L.A., D.C.
I heard a lot of rumors.
Yeah.
I would love to see them sit down here for a while. But I know that cast won't. I know that cast is going to move
on. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll come back. There's a big chance, you know, that they might come back.
I heard through the grapevine they were casting for it, but I don't know if that
ever
happened.
Well, maybe they are.
That would be delightful.
Who knows? I also know that the big news that is... Dirty Dancing, the musical,
yes.
which we said on the news, is coming here. And it is supposedly the big... You knew you were just in
yes.
London. Did you see the big posters for
everywhere.
It?
Everywhere.
It's like
all
sold
over the
out in the West End.
All over the tube. My mother calls me after she hears that it's coming to Chicago. How this woman got on that theater beat, I don't know. Ever since Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, she saw
You've,
August.
Yeah.
And then ever since Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, she's really been
August
on the
August is
the
going
theater
to Broadway.
Tube. Right.
I said it here.
So
did I say it here? I think
yes,
I said it
you
here.
Did.
I can go back and listen, but I think I
you
said
did.
It here.
You did. And she's been on the beat. So she calls and she's like, are you gonna get some tickets to that you know, that Dirty Dancing show? And in my mind I'm thinking, what the fuck cabaret burlesque does my mother want to see?
Exactly. No, it's the Dirty
like,
Dancing.
Oh. And then I opened up my email and then there was the press release from Margie Korshak, and I was like, oh, that Dirty Dancing.
That
I was like,
Dirty Dancing.
I was like, well, you know what, lady? Make you a deal. You take me to Greektown, I'll take you to Dirty Dancing.
Look at
How's that.
How's
that work?
Y'all are
How's
so sweet. Work? You're such a good son.
I better be.
You're such a good son. Hey, somebody who is a good mother and also single mother and also has been a spokesperson and now may just be turning into a spokesperson for us.
It's just amazing to think
what
of
goes
the
around
journey.
Comes around.
I mean, I remember literally being drunk with friends and turning on the TV and, hey, babies.
Hey, babies.
Cool now. And, you know, Miss Cleo has had such a notorious...
Phoenix is rising, I believe.
Yeah, just a notorious reputation in so many different parts of so many different communities.
Right.
Not just one or the other, but, you know, 2006 she came out, and that was big. And
I was shocked. I mean, to me, it was like, Miss Cleo, what?
Yeah, what? And I think it slipped... in my head, I thought publicity stunt. That's what I thought.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and then... But it slipped under the radar of so many people, because if you... ask a lot of queer people now about Miss Cleo, they're like, oh yeah, and they don't, she's gay, what?
Yeah.
She's a lesbian. So it doesn't even ring true, but she's out.
It's interesting when people of color are coming out that are celebrities, and also someone who you know, with her accent, her Caribbean kind of persona, where it is just so, we do so many news stories of people,
people
being killed and dying, you know, in Jamaica and around the Caribbean, for being GLBT, that, you know, it's got to take some Mondo balls to come out and be that kind of person, not only in the African-American community, but also of a Caribbean background.
Yeah. And, you know, balls and to put that another way, sort of inner and outer strength. You really need to have a thick skin, because she just got raped. Yeah. Raped
she
by
got
the media.
Thrown under the car.
Really, truly just wrecked. So she's actually got a CD, which, I mean, the title I think says it all. Convicted for My Beliefs, a collection of poetry. It's Miss Cleo doing spoken words. So,
but it's cool because you're really going to enjoy this show to really get to hear her story and hear that the thing that I
hear
think that was hear her and to hear what we were also kind of attracted to. I mean, she's obviously something that there was an attraction. That's why she became such a phenom.
Yeah.
You know, that energy now is hopefully as a spokesperson for good things and speaking truth. Mm-hmm. And she was actually doing this before the Psychic Network and the kind of work that she fell into as kind of the face, and what work has been integral to her and her activism as well as her expression, I think.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So all of you listening have this healthy dose of skepticism. You think this is Cleo? What? Miss Cleo?
Open your mind.
But seriously, this is one time when, you know, go somewhere, chill with us, hang out and listen to this interview because it's pretty fucking amazing what
she
has to say.
She's a cool
good
lady.
Stuff.
And we've got news as well, more going on globally and nationally and in our own backyard. And so we'll be back after this.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of us, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 3rd, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Next Theater Company in Evanston presents the Chicago area premiere of The Busy World is Hushed by Keith Bunin. An Episcopal priest arranges a romance between her assistant and her wayward son. Faith, love, and loss collide in this provocative love triangle. The Busy World is Hushed plays September 12th through October 14th. Call 847-475-1875 or visit nexttheater.org for tickets. Catchy melodies, divine moves, and gobs of hair product. Ultra Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. Ultra Boys opens October 7th at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Get your tickets now. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Whenever you mention the word voodoo, people get spooked. Eyebrows get raised. People get nervous. Some turn their heads while others look down their nose. Sounds like a personal problem to me. And for the record, it's pronounced voodoo. I stand before you today and proudly proclaim I am a voodoo woman, and Y Cleomaly is my name. And these are my confessions. Steamy hot heat, thick air, crickets dance and sing.
Well, we all remember those nights staring at our television. The Psychic Friends Network came on, and their brightest star, Ms. Cleo, she nightly enticed us with her "Call Me Now." But what has she been up to since then? Well, for one, in late 2006, she came out in The Advocate as a lesbian. Yay!
Yay!
And now she is releasing a new spoken word CD called "Convicted for My Beliefs," and we're so glad for the very first time to have her here on the Queercast.
Yes.
Ms. Cleo, how are
Welcome.
You, Cleo?
Thank you so much, and hello to everyone this evening. Thank you so much for you all inviting me to come on and talk, and I appreciate the time.
Well, it's so fantastic to talk
yes.
with you. I want to know kind of where the beginnings of Ms. Cleo came about. Where did mm-hmm. this persona, this identity kind of come about for you?
Well, you know, I don't know that it came about. I mean, I come from a family of people who practice different belief systems. So it was quite just going back over some very old history to keep it brief. I actually did work on the psychic line that was owned by two other individuals. I did not own the company. And I actually worked on the line for a year or so before they approached me with being a spokesperson for the company. And that even took them another year to talk me into it. But my name is Cleomaly, Uray Del Cleomaly, but the people shortened it to Cleo, and that works. And where the Miss came in, I think it's just simply, you'll find that in the South, you find it in the Caribbean, that Miss is a form of respect. Anyone that knows me and loves me will tell you it's no persona. Pretty much what you get. They did a lot of editing of me on television because I pretty much give it to you without a lot of frosting. Certainly we're all responsible for the way that we communicate to each other, but you know, I like direct and deliberate communication. I find it leaves ambiguity out at the street corner, and that's where I prefer for it to be.
So literally, I remember you were just simply vaulted onto everyone's mouth and in everyone's mind when you went on television for the first time. Was there life for you really before TV and after TV? Was it that night and day?
You know, the night and day part was the instant erosion of privacy.
I can only imagine.
I am a single mom. I have been a writer and am published, and I'm a published playwright for many years prior to that. So I didn't do television, but I did. I had a production company that did a lot of theater, but all of our theater was geared towards healing with social issues, healing with issues of discrimination, issues of being out versus staying in the closet, issues of AIDS, things that had personally touched my life, issues of adoption. These were all things that I spoke to prior to this. I was, again, it took them some convincing to get me on to television. Life after? Well, is there life after the media? I gotta tell you, that's the $64 question. I certainly do believe that there is. It may take you a little bit to find your way back to it. But, you know, when everything was said and done, at the end of that same year, November 2002, I was found blameless. Every civil lawsuit was dismissed against me. It was clear that there was nothing that had to do with me. Unfortunately, I happened to be the face of the
right.
company. Nobody really knew what the owners looked like, nor
right.
do I think they were the Browns, so people really didn't care.
Right.
You know, I think that you have to recover and heal. There were a lot of things that were said that were just basically untrue, and we know how rumors go on and carry on, and you know, a lot of things that my family, moreover, had to heal from. I am a single mother of two of the most amazing daughters in the world, and of course, I'm a bit biased. But it was very difficult on them. It was very difficult at the time. My mother was still living. I lost her last year. Very difficult on her. Very difficult on my shaman, who will be 99 this year.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was very difficult on my family. I think that they worried about me because I am a sensitive person. And I have to tell you, if anyone had said it was going to be that painful, I would have doubted that I would have made it through it. But the release of this CD is again an affirmation that there is life after television or after the media, whichever you want to coin it as. I mean, I had a private practice before television, and I have a worldwide private practice now. I have a little bit more than 250 clients, and those are my community, if you would, my village that I take care of. So that still goes on. I still hold workshops for people to take back their power and to navigate the journey. I also have students who study more metaphysical dynamics. I have students of life. So my life has continued on, just not in the spotlight, if you would.
So do you consider yourself more of a spiritual advisor or a shaman type of energy and work as opposed to a psychic type of work?
Absolutely. I think that was one of the qualms, and it was always an argument that I had with the company because the way that they packaged me was not what I was. I am a shaman. The technical term for the belief system that I practice, which is ancient African as well as Haitian, and it's the term is mambo, not the dance. I get that joke all the time. So I'll just cut you all off with the past. But a mambo would be equivalent of a shaman or a high priestess, something of that nature. And so absolutely, I advise, I counsel, I do couples counseling, I bring children into the world, I perform weddings. I mean, there are a number of things that, you know, psychics don't do. Plus, my life is very steeped in ritual. And, you know, for lack of a better choice of word, which we know people don't like it, but voodoo.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a big stigma and a scary thing that's attached to voodoo, and it's more an issue of ignorance rather than of reality. So, again, that's something that I do on a regular. It is my life 24 hours a day. I wake up, there are rituals to be performed, there are rituals to be performed at the end of the night. When you have the event like we just had, the full moon, total lunar eclipse, I was one of those people up at 4:45 in the morning, outside, you know, marveling at the beauty of it, but also for us, there are many things that need to be done during time frames like that. So, again, at people not really getting a clear sense of what I do or what is required of someone in a position of the belief system that I believe in. I stray away from the label of religion. There are many people, however, lukumi, which is more of a term that's used stateside for what I practice, or Yoruba, is actually recognized in the United States as an official religion. Still, I stay away from that term. I believe it is about a belief system.
Absolutely. So knowing what you did, I mean, really, you really got burned by the media so awfully. It was a very, very deep cut. Knowing that, what motivated you to come out so publicly?
You know, I have to tell you, it was my children, my godchildren, my nieces, my nephews, the ones that I've adopted along the way, and I get a huge goosebump all over my body. My children are everything to me, and they should be everything to all of us because they are tomorrow. But I have a godson who last year, I had told his mom probably a year in advance, maybe two, and I had said to her, you know, that Matthew is gay. And she was, no, he's not, no, he's not, no, he's not. And I said, no, yes, he is.
Ms. Cleo knows these things.
you know, she would have preferred for me to say anything except for that. Now, she's not homophobic, so I want to qualify that. But she was concerned about the world's response to him.
Right,
and
right.
And he's a very sensitive young man. And I said to her, I said, well, things are different. And once I sat down and had the conversation with him and he came out to his mom, I promised him that I would have his back. I promised him that I would be there for him. I also made that promise to his mother. Mm. And, you know, that not to worry that I was right there. And one day we were talking and I looked at him and I said, you are really going to make me put my money where my mouth is, aren't you? And, well, you know, the media obviously knew about it. They just chose not to talk about it, which we thought was interesting. And so, you know, in order to take back power and to show him that I had no fear, that there was no reason for him to have fear, I went ahead and decided to come out publicly. And that was directly the inspiration for it.
So, I mean, it's a pretty big thing to call the advocate up and say, hey, guess what? Let's talk.
Hey!
Hi!
Coming out!
Well, literally.
It was my idea, much to the dismay and chagrin of my attorneys and my publicist. They knew nothing about it. I didn't want them to be able to talk me out of it.
Right.
The other issue that my publicist, who is an African-American woman, was concerned with is, again, the Caribbean culture.
Yeah.
And that's everywhere from, you know, Cuba to Tobago and Trinidad.
Mm.
And everywhere in between, the Caribbean culture is not accepting of homosexuality. I mean, the intolerance rate, I would wager, is about 98%.
Mm-hmm. And punishable, and punishable in many of those Caribbean countries.
Oh, my goodness,
countries.
And punishable without a jury of your peers, if you
right.
would, by just death. Walk
yes.
down the street with the wrong person.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And nobody's going to call the media. Nobody's going to call the police. They're
right.
just going to let it go because it's that's the way it is. I don't have time to judge the process. So her concern was is that, you know, you may offend, you know, your people, your community, you know, on a larger frame. But I know too many in my community. I know a young woman who is 19, and this just happened 8 weeks ago. She came out to her father, very Jamaican household.
Mm.
They threw her out.
Yeah.
They disowned her. They called family back in Jamaica, made sure they knew, so that they would disown her, and then forbade her grandmother, who lives here, to allow her to come live with her.
Yeah.
And this is a 19-year-old.
No, she I know. I know those wrong. Stories. Those stories. We had a young kid here, a young Jamaican kid here, who was 16, who was brought here to live with family because he had come out, you know, and those stories are really so prevalent. Have you had a backlash personally, or have you had stories
you know
of affirmation?
I have, you know, it's been a mixed bag. It's been a mixed bag. I have some family members who, again, did not know, and they were quite surprised when they encountered other family members who did know. And their initial response, excuse me, my dogs are having a moment.
That's okay. Let
we
them
love
have their
the
moment.
Puppies.
I know they're so precious. Initially, you know, it was interesting because I even had my ex, who is very much still in the closet, was furious with me because she was hoping that it would not negatively impact her.
Right.
And I said, well, there's no evidence that we were ever a couple, you know what I'm saying? So I had responses like that were panicked and, oh, my God, you know, now people who didn't know aren't going to like you. I've had some family that I haven't heard from since last year.
Wow.
You know, no Christmas card, no Thanksgiving, no nothing. Does that bother me about them? No. Because they're just not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's all that is. They're just not. Would they defend me still? Absolutely. They wouldn't allow anybody to talk about me. They wouldn't allow anybody to disrespect me. But they would struggle with it, also for religious reasons. You know, Caribbean people are very religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the backlash now from the people, from the masses, people have been wonderful.
Excellent.
People have been, for the most part, absolutely wonderful. I received amazing telegrams and phone calls and emails and, you know, you rock, Miss Cleo, and each other, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I love that. And there's always going to be those who poke fun or whatever the case is. And if I'm not over that by now, I never will be.
Amen.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So I've had some pretty intense training. So, you know, that was, so I cannot complain. I actually worried that my landlord was going to have a problem with
it. Oh, no.
He's Jamaican. Mm. And I really thought, well, I said, you know, no time to get weak in the knees. You have to take a stand. And fortunately, by the grace of all that is good under the stars, it didn't happen like that. But I also perceive that he's more of a businessman, and I'll take that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't need to know why you'll keep me in the house.
Exactly. I don't need, it's not about conversion for me, you know, because we all have the gay agenda. We're all trying to turn everybody gay, you know, which is so not the case. But, you know, that tends to be the perception that is cultivated through fear.
Absolutely.
So now you have this new spoken word CD, which I'm assuming has really been inspired by much of this journey that we've discussed, Convicted for My Beliefs.
Right.
What is the inspiration for that, and why spoken word?
You know, I tell you, even on the CD, it's dedicated to one of my heroes, and I mean this with the whole of my heart, Mr. Gil Scott-Heron. And Gil Scott is from a time, late 60s, early 70s, when obviously this country was going through an awful lot. Everything from the Vietnam War to, you know, race riots and trying to get civil rights passed, et cetera, et cetera. And Gil used spoken word to talk to the people, specifically to the black community. But even if you go beyond that, poetry throughout the history of the world has been very pivotal in pointing out issues within our society and actually initiating change. And I felt that I know that I had become complacent. Mm. And friends of mine who were amazing people, all we did was talk about everybody being complacent. And, you know, at some point in time, I teach to my students that you need to hold up a mirror and wonder if the things that you aren't projecting onto other people are things that you actually have issues with yourself. And I participated in AIDS Walk Fort Lauderdale this year for a number of reasons. And at the end of that 10K in, you know, 85-degree weather and 100% humidity, either I was having a religious moment hilarious from heat stroke. Moment, I decided that I was tired of being complacent and that it was time to act. And it was not a time to be afraid anymore. If they want to come after me, then let them come. But it's time to give people back their power and recognize that, you know, one or two or three people can indeed make a difference. And Gil Scott-Heron is currently fighting for his life, and he has AIDS. I know I have a beat. He has AIDS, and he's also a diabetic. I had the pleasure of seeing him live in the mid-90s. And I knew of him before. He had inspired me before. But this one, I thought, you know, I need to be able to come out, and I need to be able to talk about the things that are real. Because I have children, and I have godchildren, and I don't want to leave them with a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you live in a state, too, in Florida, where there have been a lot of topics around GLBT issues, gay adoption, which Rosie O'Donnell really tried to bring to the forefront. And then you address as well the current attempt to alter Florida's constitution with the anti-gay marriage amendment. Talk to me about the creation of that piece.
You know, that piece, one of those things that came out of the heat stroke is Equality Florida is a statewide gay civil rights group here in Florida. And I had occasion to make the acquaintance of one of the dynamic individuals who is a volunteer, does not actually work for the agency, but is a volunteer in West Palm Beach County. And we did not have a volunteer organizer in Broward County. And I decided, again, time to stop being complacent, so step up to the plate. And as I started to do more research about this anti-gay marriage amendment, because I have to tell you, even being a member of the GLBT community, I was not aware of what was going on.
Right.
And then there are a lot of us out there like that. We're so caught up in our everyday lives.
Sure.
And
we lose sight.
When I became aware, I thought, you know what, something, we actually had another track for that part of the CD. And I told my people, I said, nope, we're pulling that one in. We're putting this one on because it's important. I need to, like I said, I've got a 17-year-old godson. I don't want him to have to deal with this 10 years from now when I have an opportunity, along with all the rest of us, to make a difference. I wanted people to understand that this is discrimination, plain and simple. You know, it's not an issue of sexuality. It's just discrimination. You cannot amend, based on what this country is built on, you cannot amend a constitution to legally discriminate against people.
Right.
You know, and exactly. And while, you know, some may get angered with me, the fact that I, you know, will take the correlation between the miscegenation laws of the 50s and the 60s, where marrying of a black and white person was literally against the law. And it took a very long time to have those laws repealed and taken off the books and declared and found unconstitutional. But it's the same premise.
Yep.
It's the same premise. And I felt that I needed to find. I have a face. For whatever reason, I have a voice. And it was, I'm committed to carrying on the legacy of Gil Scott-Heron and saying, look, we need to realize what's going on. We need to recognize that change comes at our own hands. Hmm. We cannot sit back in our houses in armchair quarterback. We have to get involved. We have to voice out. We have to act up, if you will. I'm old school. I am old school. You know what I'm saying? Get out there with a picket sign. I don't care if it's pretty or not, but I got something to say and somebody's going to listen.
Absolutely. And I think that is the message of the CD. Folks, if you want to check out this just wonderful collection of poetry, of spoken word, which if many of you haven't even dove into the spoken word field, now is the time. Now is the time to do it. The CD is called Convicted for My Beliefs. You can pick it up at wagwanentertainment.com. I will have that link in the show notes. Or you can also find it on CD Baby if you're a CD Baby person. Miss Cleo, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us today.
Thank you. This was a joy and a tickle, Peter. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's great.
You too, Amy.
It's so great to have you out there now as a face and a voice for our community.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I love you all. Thank you. And the next time I'm coming to Chicago, I'm going to look you all up and come and take you for a drink.
Let's do it.
We do it.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.